下午好。让我们一起祷告。主啊，我们为今天的敬拜感谢你。我们下午学习你的话语的时候，我们求你的引导。我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名，阿门。这是我们这个系列的最后一课。这个应该早点讲这个人物。因为我们教会的这个编排的活动呢，所以我把这个放最后，一直改到最后了。所以今天我们以约翰加尔文的故事来结束。
And talking about the attributes of God,
讲到神的属性。
I want to start with this scripture from Psalm 8.
我们从诗篇第八章第一节的这节经文开始。
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
耶和华，我们的主啊，你的名在全地何其美。
You have set your glory above the heavens.
你将你的荣耀彰显于天。
And I am calling John Calvin a man who saw God's glory.
我称加尔文是一位见过神荣耀的人。
He is born in France. I can't get that to work again today.
他是在法国出生的。
He is born in France to a Roman Catholic family.
他是出生在一个罗马天主教的家庭。
His father is an attorney for the town's cathedral.
他爸爸是那个教堂的一个律师。
Wanted John to become a priest.
他爸爸想让约翰加尔文成为一位神职人员。
At the age of 14, he began studying at the University of Paris.
他14岁的时候在巴黎大学学习。
Graduates with an MA at the age of 18.
18岁的时候他就是有那个硕士学位毕业了。
His education is paid for with scholarships from some of the small churches. He was planning to come back as a priest.
他本来是因为他要原来是计划要到一些小教会去做牧师的，所以那些教会就付了他的学费。
One year after he finishes his study, his father was excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church.
他就是刚刚毕业一年，他爸爸就被罗马天主教呢给驱逐了出去。
We don't know why.
我们不知道原因。
There's no record of what happened.
没有记录说到底发生了什么事情。
But John gets a letter from his father saying, "You don't want to spend your life as a priest."
他加尔文呢从爸爸那儿收到一封信，爸爸说你可能不想一生做这个神职人员或做牧师。
So he switches to study law.
所以他就开始转读法律。
Finishes his law studies at the age of 23.
23岁拿到那个法律学位。
Publishes his first book that year.
26岁他出版了他的第一本书。
And within a year has to leave Paris because he is accused of promoting Protestantism.
在那个就待了一年呢，他就必须被迫离开巴黎，因为他的罪名是他在宣扬这个新教的教义。
Sometime that year,
就在那一年的什么时候
，He truly is converted.
他是真正重生得救了。
He later will write this testimony.
他后来写了这样一个见证。
God tamed a mind that was too stubborn for its years.
神就是把那个非常固执的一个头脑改变了。
He spends 3 years studying.
他在已经研究了三年。
And during those 3 years, writes and publishes the first edition of his great work, which is called The Institutes of the Christian Religion.
他在这个三年中呢，他学习，他一直在编辑他的第一本书，是一非常伟大的一本著作，就是这个第一版《基督教要义》。
By 1536, he is 27 years old.
在他27岁的时候，1537年。
I should have brought the book. It is about this thick.
Yeah, I have this one. 他那个书《基督教要义》大概是这么厚，中文有出版。
So if you are over 27 and have not yet published this much,
如果你都
you are a little bit late.
如果你都过了27岁，你还没有出版这么厚的一本书，那你就有点晚了。
27, he has left the Roman Catholic Church.
27岁，他离开了罗马天主教。
And is on his way to go to Strasbourg.
在他准备去，which one Strasbourg? Okay, 是那个斯特拉斯堡的时候，德国的一个城镇。
The road is blocked due to a battle, and so he detours through Geneva.
因为战火频繁，所以只得绕道而行。他经过了日内瓦。
Now I'm going to take a detour like he did.
我也要跟他一样绕道而行。
The Protestant city of Bern had sent a preacher to Geneva to preach the Protestant message.
就是那个崇元派新教呢，他们送了一个牧师到日内瓦去传扬新教。
If someone could move the things back there, because I can't get this to work.
可不可以请人把那个换下一个，下一个，
This is, if you could see the dates, it is during the early years of the Protestant Reformation.
你如果看日期的话，你可以看到这个是那个新教改革的这个早期，宗教改革的早期。
A preacher had come to Geneva by the name of William Farrell to preach.
法国布道家法热勒来到日内瓦。
It's a Catholic city.
这是一个天主教的城市。
But under Farrell's preaching,
但是在法热勒的传道之下呢
，the Geneva City Council voted.
所以呢，这个日内瓦的这个城市议会呢。就他们投票。
We will now live according to the word of God.
他们说现在我们要靠照着神的话语而行而生活。
Which in that day is a statement, we will be Protestants.
那个就是在宣告说我们要成为这个崇元教新教的教徒。
So that's the background when Calvin passes through.
这就是那个加尔文他经过这个日内瓦的时候的背景。
He's planning to spend one night in Geneva and then move on.
然后他本来是想说就在日内瓦待一夜，然后就往前行去德国。
William Farrell is a very fiery preacher.
这个法热勒是像火一般的一个牧师，一个传道者。
They called him the red-headed preacher.
他们说是那个红头发的讲道者。
He has read this Institutes of the Christian Religion.
他读过这个加尔文的这个基督教要义这本书。
And someone tells him that the author is spending the night in the city.
有人告诉他说，哎，这个基督教要义的作者今天晚上就在这个日内瓦。
So he goes to visit John Calvin.
然后他就去看那个加尔文。
And says, you need to stay here and help me lead this revival.
他说，你应该待在这儿，帮助我来带领这个复兴。
Calvin says no.
那个家人说不要。
I'm a writer.
他说我是一个作家。
I'm going to Strasbourg, where it's a quiet city with a great library, and I want to spend my life writing.
他说我要去斯特拉斯堡，那个地方是一个挺安静的城镇，也有一个很大的图书馆，我要在那里余生在那里写作。
The red-headed preacher says to him.
这个红头发的这个牧师对他说
If you leave, God is going to judge you.
如果你离开这个城市，神就会审判你。
This is where you're supposed to be.
这就是你应该待的地方。
And poor John Calvin says, "Okay, I'll stay."
然后可怜的家人就只好说，好吧，我就待下来吧。
He is never officially a preacher.
他从来没有说是一个正式的一个讲道者，一个牧师。
Was never ordained.
从来没有被安立过。
Instead, he is hired as a teaching pastor.
他是被他的那个位置呢是教育牧师。
With the title Professor of Sacred Scripture.
他的那个头衔呢，就是一个什么教授。
But becomes the primary preacher in the church.
但是他却是教会里主要讲道的一个人。
Preaches for 2 years.
他在那里讲道两年。
And is asked to leave.
然后他就被要求离开。
Serving communion.
然后他就开始要去服侍这个圣餐。
They ask him to use unleavened bread.
他们让他去用那个没有发酵的那个饼。
He would not, and so they fired him.
然后他不肯，然后就把他解雇了。
And so after 2 years there, he and Farrell leave and go to Strasbourg.
然后呢，他就去过了两年，他就跟这个法热勒两个人去了斯特拉斯堡。
I wish I could hear their conversation as they were going.
我很想听到他们在路上的对话。
Because remember, Farrell had told Calvin, God is going to judge you if you leave.
我那个法热勒给他说过，说如果你离开日内瓦，神就会审判你。我想听他们到底在路上说什么。
And I suspect as they were riding in the carriage, John
我就想他们
Calvin said, "You got us fired."
然后那个可能在马车上，那个法热勒说，你看，就是你让我们都丢掉了工作。
So he leaves and goes to Strasbourg.
然后他去了那个斯特拉斯堡。
The Catholic hierarchy hears that Calvin is gone and Farrell is gone.
然后呢，这个 在那个罗马这个新教的这个他们的领袖人物法兹勒跟日内瓦都离开了。
And they decide,
跟着家人们都离开了。
This is our chance to win Geneva back.
然后天主教说，哎，这可是个好机会，我们要不重新把日内瓦变成天主教城市。
Understand that at this point there are not multiple churches denominations in each city.
在那个要了解，在那个时代的，并不是说每个城市有不同的教派。
An entire city becomes Catholic, or an entire city becomes Protestant.
那个时候就是说，整个城市或者是全部是天主教，或者全部是从原教。
And so he writes, the Catholic cardinal writes a letter to the council appealing to them to return to the Roman Catholic Church.
所以呢，这个罗马天主教的这个红衣大主教就给这个日内瓦的议会写了 一封信，邀请他们再回到天主教的统治下。
And he makes his arguments.
然后这个主教就列了很多理由。
They read the letter.
然后那个议会就读他的信。
And the members of the council say,
议会议员就说,
We know this isn't right.
说我们觉得这个是错的。
But it sounds really good.
但是听起来很有道理。
And so they contact John Calvin, who they fired.
然后他们就联系到了加尔文，他们已经雇就是剔除掉的。
And they say, You're the only one we know who can answer this.
他说好像你是我们知道的唯一能够回答这封信的人。
Please give us the answer.
请你给我们一个答案。
So he writes a letter.
所以呢，那个加尔文就写了一封信。
Responding to the Catholic Archbishop.
然后他就是就是回应这个红衣大主教的信件。
And Geneva says.
然后日内瓦就说。
We will remain Protestant.
日内瓦说，我们还是要继续成为从原教的城市。
As a result of this.
作为这个结果。
1541, they ask him to come back to again begin preaching.
1541年，他们又邀请加尔文又重新回到日内瓦继续讲道。
He doesn't want to go.
他不想去。
He is now preaching to French refugees in Strasbourg.
他现在呢是对着在那个斯特拉斯堡的这个法国难民在讲道。
They like him.
那些人很喜欢他。
He's got a peaceful, happy life.
他也有一个。安静的一个幸福的生活。
And he says to Farrell,
然后他就对法勒勒说
I would rather die 100 times than go back to Geneva.
他说我就算死100次我也不想再回到日内瓦。
And Farrell again says,
然后法勒勒
God is going to judge you if you don't go back.
神会审判你如果你不回到日内瓦。
I don't know how Farrell was so persuasive, but this is the second time.
我不知道法勒勒怎么这么有说服力，这是第二次他听他的，就是说服他。
And Calvin goes back.
然后加尔文就回去了。
He never says a single word about what had happened during those years.
他没有说过一句关于这些年发生了什么事情的记录。
His preaching system was to start and preach verse by verse through a book.
他的那个加尔文讲到的这个就是方式呢，就是从一本圣经上的一本书一句一句往下讲，一句经文。
On Easter Sunday, 1538, he had been preaching in the Psalms.
1538年的那个复活节，他开始讲诗篇。
After the service, they fired him.
在那个敬拜之后，他就被解雇了。
He comes back 3 years later.
过了三年，他回来。
On Sunday.
在星期天。
The next verse.
下一句经文，上一次三年之前离开的那句经文。
And continues as if there had not been a 3 year gap.
好像中间都没有这个三年的间隙，就继续讲下去。
I don't want to get fired, but that's the way to do it.
我不想被解雇，但是那个就是那个讲道的方式。
He will remain in Geneva till he dies, 23 years.
他又在日内瓦一直又住了23年，直到他去世。
Now.What I want to focus on this morning for a few minutes.
今天早上我们想要关注的是
is his great love for the glory of God.
他对神的这个荣耀的这种热爱跟热忱。
In the institutes, he says, wherever you cast your eyes.
他说，无论你的眼睛转向何方。
There is not a spot in the universe where you cannot see God's glory.
宇宙中无有一处不见他荣耀的点点火花。
No one had a greater sense of God's glory than Calvin.
没有人比加尔文对神的荣耀有更深邃的感触。
His motto from the
他的座右铭就是
Soli Deo Gloria,
就是
all to the glory of God.
说唯独荣耀归神。
And so,
所以呢
I want to use that to look briefly at his, the attributes of God.
我想用加尔文来看神的属性他讲到的
An attribute is simply whatever God has revealed as being true of himself.
什么是神的属性就是神所启示关于他自己的真实的一面。
And the first thing I want to look at, the slide before, I can't get
我们再看到第一个我们想看到的是
is to emphasize the attribute that God is one.
他所要强调的第一个就是神是独一的。
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4.
生命记第六章第四节讲到。
If you will look at that.
如果我们可以去看的话，生命记第六章第四节。
Deuteronomy 6, verse 4.
生命记第六章第四节。
Hear, O Lord Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
以色列啊，你要听耶和华我们的神是独一的主。
I start here because I think many people misunderstand the attributes of God.
我之所以从这里开始，是因为我觉得很多人就是误解了神的属性。
And they think of God's attributes as adding up.To the total of God.
他们觉得神的属性好像就是各个不同的部分一直加加加加到一起最后就是神的属性
The idea and I don't know this didn't trans I mean what I think didn't work I don't know what happened yeah. Yes okay you
我们的讲义里边是有的
okay, okay.
这个里边不
是 So don't look at this look at your sheet
不是看看我们的那个讲义在这个不是很清楚
Because
我们的左边
it seems to me that for many people
对很多人好像还来讲
They think of God aspart holy
他们觉得神是哦一部分的圣洁
part justice
一部分的是公义
thank you part love part mercy
有一部分的是慈爱有一部分是怜悯
and so their image is okay God is a holy God and that's this much
他们就说哦神的这个圣洁就占神的大概40%就这么一部分
but fortunately he has more mercy than he has holiness so we'll be okay
他如果神呢，他的怜悯是比如说圣洁是20%，怜悯是40%更多，那就我们就没事了。
When you study God's attributes,
当你学在你在研读神的这个属性的时候
look, not at this,
不要看左边那个图
but at this.
而是右边这个图
God is entirely love.
神是完全的慈爱
entirely holiness,
完全的圣洁
entirely justice,
完全的公平
entirely mercy.
完全的怜悯
And so as Christians, we don't have to fear. I wonder which God is responding to me today.
作为基督徒，我们不应该害怕说，哎，这神的哪一部分在今天对我回应呢？
I hope you've never had a parent like this.
我希望你们不要从来没有这样的父母。
Who on one day seems to be this kind of personality, and another day this kind of personality.
好像今天是这样的一个人，明天又是那样的一个人。
And if you break a rule, you hope that you get the merciful day rather than the just day.
如果你今天不听话，你就希望说，你是有一个怜悯的神，而不是一个公平圣洁的神。
God is one.
神是独一的。
And so all of these attributes speak of who He is.
所以神的所有属性都在讲他是谁。
So very quickly.
很快的，我们来看下一个。
God is, I'm putting together, He is transcendent and immanent.
神是超越的，又是内蕴的。
Isaiah 57.
以赛亚书五十七章第一节讲到。
Is a scripture that shows us both of these.
就讲到神的超越性跟神的内蕴性。
To be transcendent means to be above everything.
超越意味着神高高在上。
To be imminent means to be close.
内蕴性就是说神是近在咫尺。
When we speak of God's transcendence, we speak of Him being a God who is other.
就是我们讲到神的超越性，就讲到说神是跟我们不同的，是另外的。
When we speak of His immanence, we speak of a God who is in us, who is close to us.
讲到那个神的内蕴性像。内蕴性是讲到神离我和我们同在，离我们很近，也在我们里面。
And so Isaiah writes this.
所以以赛亚是这么说的。
Thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy.
因为那至高至上、永远长存，或者说住在永远、名为圣者的，如此说。
I dwell in the high and holy place.
我住在至高至圣的所在。
That is a God who is transcendent.
那个就是一位超然的神，超越的神。
A God who is far above us.
而是那个远远在我们之上，远离我很高的神。
A God that we cannot fully understand.
是因为我们不能完全了解的神。
One writer wrote a prayer.
有一个作者是这样写一个祷告。
God teach us to know that we cannot know.
主啊，求你教导我们知道我们不知道，我们不能知道。
That you are far above us.
求你教导我们，让我们知道你是高高在上、远离我们的神。
When I was principal in the academy,
当我在学校做校长的时候
，one of the teachers did a lesson for her students in Bible class about the tabernacle.
有一个老师教学生呢，讲那个就是那个帐幕。
And in the tabernacle was the ark of the covenant.
帐幕里边有那个约柜，上面有那个遮掩。施恩座。
And she talked to them about how that box represented God's presence.
她讲到约柜是怎么样代表神的同在。
And one of the children went home and told their parents, "Today we learned about God in a box."
她说有个小孩回去说，我们今天学到了神在一个盒子里。
I think for many of us, we tend to want a God in a box.
我想我们很多人其实我们心里面是暗暗的希望神就是在一个盒子里。
A God that we can understand and control.
我们是可以这个神的是我们可以理解的，也是可以操控的。
A God who always does things the way we expect Him to do.
我们神总是做一些我们所期待的，我们所能预料到的事情。
When you read Job,
但你当你去读约伯记的时候
，That's what the friends wanted God to be.
约伯的朋友就希望神是这样的。
If I do good things, God will make sure that good things happen to me.
如果我行善，那我神也会保证我的那个生活各样事都是好的。
But the God in Job is transcendent.
但是在约伯记里的神是超越的。
He is above our way of measuring things.
他是超过我们所能想的，所能理解的。
And so Isaiah says, "I dwell in the high and holy place."
所以以赛亚里边说到，我住在至高至圣的所在。
But then,
马上又说
，and also with him who is of a contrite and a lowly spirit.
也与心灵痛悔、谦卑的人同居。
That is the imminence of God.
那个就是内蕴的神，近在咫尺的神。
A God who has revealed Himself to us.
一位神向我们显示了他自己。
A God who comes close to us.
一位来到我们身边的神。
As we come into the Christmas season.
我们马上就要进入圣诞节。
We very much see this imminent.
我们就看到这个神的这个同在。
The idea that the transcendent God would enter into our world,
这样一位超然的神竟然进到我们的世界里
and enter into our world not as a dictator,
进入到我们世界不是一个统治者的身份进来
not as a king,
也不是一位国君王的身份进来
but as a baby,
而是一个婴儿的身份样子进来
That idea of God is amazing.
那样子对神的这种概念是令人惊奇的。
That he becomes one of us.
他成为我们其中的一员。
And so these two doctrines together.
所以这两个属性。
These two attributes.
这两个神的属性。
God is transcendent. We can never fully understand.
神是超然的、超越的，我们永远不可能完全理解他。
But at the same time,
但是同时。
He is imminent.
他也是近在咫尺内蕴的他跟我们同在离我们很近
I think for the sake of time, I'm going to jump down
我们因为时间的关系我们跳到
God is eternal
神是永恒的
Exodus 3 verse 14
在出埃及记第三章十四节讲到
God reveals himself at the burning bush
神在这个燃烧的荆棘里来显示他自己
And when Moses says, "Who do I say sent me?"
摩西对说我对以色列说谁送我到呢谁送我来打发来的呢
Say to the people of Israel,
神对摩西说对他们说
I am has sent you
就说我是送你的
I am is the idea of eternity
我是就是表达了这个永恒的概念
No limits in relation to time
他的时间对他没有限制他跟
One writer said, "God lives in an everlasting now."
说有人就说神是活在永远的现在之中。
He has no past and no future.
他没有过去，没有未来。
Everything is now.
每件事情对神都是现在。
One of my favorite scriptures about this is in Deuteronomy 33.
我最喜欢的关于这方面的经文就是在司命记三十三章。
The eternal God is your dwelling place.
第几节 so, which verse?
27.
Okay. 永生的神是你的居所。
The eternal God is your dwelling place.
永恒永生的神是你的居所。
As Christians,
作为基督徒
this tells us,
这告诉我们
He is never surprised.
他永远不会说吃惊。
He is never surprised by what is coming into our life.
他永远不会说要为我们发生在我们生活中的事情而吃惊。
Because he sees it all.
因为他看到所有的一切。
Someone said there are no deadlines against which God must work.
神是没有这个截止日期的界限。
And if we know this, it will quiet our spirits.
如果我们真的是了解到这个，会让我们的心平静。
You see, if you are a worrier, any worriers here?
我们中间有没有人是特别容易操心的？
Yes, I can make a long list of things that could go wrong.
我可以列个列表，就是什么事情会出错。
God never has to make one of those lists.
神是不需要有这个列表的。
He lives in an everlasting now.
因为神住在永恒的现在之中。
For those of you who are worriers,
对我们这种爱操心的人来讲，
would it give you a little bit of peace if you knew everything that is going to happen and how it's going to turn out and that God is in charge?
会不会帮助你就说每件事情都会照着这样的发生，神都永远在掌控。
You see,God already knows what is going to happen.
因为神已经知道了未来要发生什么。
Whatever is going to come into my life tomorrow, He's already seen it.
不管说明天在我的生命中会发生什么事情，神已经看到了。
He's not going to be caught off guard.
神不会说被大吃一惊。
And have to say,
然后神说
oh no, what do I do now?
然后神说，哎呀，怎么办呢？我该怎么办呢？
He's not going to run out of time to accomplish his purpose.
神不会说没时间去完成他想要做的。
I am constantly aware of deadlines.
我是常常能够意识到这个截止日期到了。
How do I get this done, this done, this done?
我怎么干到在这个截止日前把这些都做完？
God never gets up in the morning.
神不会说没，从来不会说早晨起来。
And says,
然后说
Wow, 7 billion people.
哦，有七十亿的人。
28 billion requests.
28亿的这个请求。
Let me pick the top three for today.
让我今天就选头三个要完成的。
He never does that.
神从来不会这
样做。He doesn't have to prioritize which one.
神不会说需要有这个优先次序。
Instead, as his children,
相反的，作为他的儿女，
we can rest in the knowledge.
我们可以安息在这个认知里边。
He already knows.
他已经知道了。
He's already in charge.
他在掌控，他已经在掌管。
He's not going to be surprised.
他不会被吓到，被震惊。
Now that is particularly comforting if we know the next attribute.
这个呢，如果我们知道神的下一个属性，这个会对我们很有安慰性。
Did they ring the bell?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Let me finish with this one then.
让我们现在赶快把下一个。
And that is God is omnipotent.
就是神是无所不能的。
That is.
那个是什么意思呢？
Revelation 19. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns.
因为圣经上启示录十九章第九节说，因为万王之王，我们的主全能者作王了。
That is important.
那个是非常重要的。
Because sometimes, even if I knew what was going to happen, there was nothing I could do about it.
因为有的时候我们就知道未来会发生什么事情，但是又做不了什么。
But he is omnipotent.
但是神是全能的。
He is in control.
神在掌管。
Now, does he always do things the way I would choose?
神是会不会总是去做我所选择的？
No,
我所希望的不是的。
Because he is omniscient.
因为神也是无所不知的。
That means he knows everything.
因为神知道每件事情。
And so he knows that sometimes what I would want is not what is best.
所以呢，神知道有时候我想要的东西并不是最好的。
Someone wrote,
有个人写道，
God's will in my life.
神在我生命中的旨意就是。
What God tells me to do.
是他告诉我要做什么。
Is exactly what I would want to do if I knew as much as God knows.
就是如果我像神那样子 全知，像神那样知道所有的事情，那我就会去做神所要让我做的每件事情，我就会选择那样做。
I like that.
我很喜欢这句话。
If I knew as much as God knows,
如果我像神那样的知道，
I would want to do.
我就会去想去做。
What he tells me to do.
他告诉我要去做的事情。
Because he knows much more than I know.
因为第一个他比我知道的多。
And he loves me completely.
然后他完全的爱我。
And he is doing what is for my best.
然后他所让我做的也是对我最好的。
So when God tells me to do something.
所以当神让我告诉我去做什么事情的时候。
And to me, it doesn't seem best.
对我好像觉得这个不是最好的。
It's because I don't know as much as he knows.
那是为什么呢？因为我没有像神那样知道那么多。
Because he is eternal.
因为神是永恒的。
So he already sees tomorrow.
因为他已经看到了明天。
He is all powerful.
他是全能的。
He can do what needs to be done.
他有能力做到应该被完成的。
And he is omniscient. He knows it all.
然后神也是全知的，他知道所有的事情。
And so he's not surprised by anything that comes into our life.
所以呢，在我们生命中发生的任何事情，神不
会吃惊。We're out of time. We'll have to finish this another day.
看来我们得再找个时间完成了。
But let me just say to you, because I'm not going to come back to this next week.
我们下个星期不会讲这个。
So let me just say to you.
我就给大家说。
That God's attributes, and take that sheet home and look at the scriptures this week.
把这个。讲义带回去看看那个神的属性的那些经文
you can teach yourself the lesson.
你可以自己来教自己
But as you read it, realize,
当你读的时候意识到
This is not a God
这不是这样一位神
who gets caught off guard,
不会说哎呦被大吃一惊
a God who gets confused,
不是一个神就是觉得好像有点混淆
He is a God who is eternal
这是一位永恒的神
all powerful
全能的神
all knowing,
全知的神
and all loving,
然后完全慈爱的神
and because of that,
因为这些
he is bringing everything together,
神让每件事情互相效力
for our good,
为了我们的益处
you have probably had this experience,
可能你有这个经验
of something happening in your life that did not make you happy,
在你生命中发生的一些事情让你并不高兴并不快乐
and 5 years later looking back
五年之后你回头看
and saying oh I'm glad that happened
然后你就会说哎呀我真是高兴那些事情是那样发生的
that really was for the best
那个发生的虽然我不高兴的事情真的是为了我的最好的益处
here's what I want you to understand
我想要大家了解的是
jump forward 1,000 years from now
你从现在再往后边看1000年
And look back from heaven.
从天堂里面你回头看。
And if you follow and obey God.
如果你跟随顺服神。
From 1,000 years later looking back.
从1000年以后你再往现在回头看你会看到什么
You will look at your life and say.
你看到你的生活你会说。
I'm glad that happened.
我真是高兴那样发生了。
God was doing that.For my good.
神那样做是为了我的益处。
Right now, you might look and say that can't be good.
你现在就看了说这怎么会有好呢
There is no way that anyone is going to convince me this is for good.
没人可以说告诉没人有办法说服我说这个是好事
But remember, God is eternal.
要记住神是永恒的。
Which means he's already living in that 1,000 years.
因为神已经活在了这个1000年之后的时间内。
He is already looking at your life.
他已经从1000年以后来看你的生活。
I am putting all the pieces.
神说我把每样东西拼在一起。
Does that mean everything is good? No.
是不是意味着每样发生在你生活中都是好的？不是。
Things that happen.
确实有可怕的事情发生。
He is working it all.
但是神让万事互相效力。
And it happens because he is omnipotent.
为什么会这样发生？因为神是无所不能的，神是无所不知的。
All right, sometime I will come back and finish up this lesson, perhaps.
也许将来有时间，我把这课继续讲完。
You're dismissed.
大家可以解散。